crazy stuff going on in our world right now. It really has. I'll be honest with you, a lot of injustice. I believe that we've gone above and beyond the rule of law. Amen. We've taken matters into our own hands, and we've tried to be somebody that we haven't been called to be. Amen. And we have people in leadership positions try to subvert justice and try to do things that is above what they have been called to do. Because they have been called to do what? To obey, to observe our Constitution, to abide by the amendments and the declaration that have been instituted for our land. And our forefathers, when they created all these things, they believed that there was one true God. Amen. They believed that His word was final. Amen. Can I just say it that way? Amen. I believe that our forefathers, for the most part, I'm sure not everybody was a believer, but you know, it is said that half of the 56 forefathers or the signers of the Declaration of Independence had Bible school degrees or had some kind of biblical school training or theology degrees. So our men of God, or men that formed this nation, knew who God was. Yeah. Amen. And they instituted this nation on those premises and on those bases. You know, Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 says this: we may make our plans. This is the Good News Translation. Because other translations say this a little different, but I love the way the Good News Translation says it. We may make our plans, but God has the last word. Yeah. Right? We may make our plans, but we know that God orders our steps. Amen. God sets things into motion. You know, we can say and do what we want to, but only God has the last word. You believe that today? I still believe God has the final word and the final say-so. You know, there's the story, 1 Kings chapter 17, where we see that Elijah, who has been fed by ravens, comes to Ahab and makes this declaration to him. He says this: as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until what? I give the word. Well, and I know that looks like he's being selfish there and he's putting it all on him, but really the word that he gives is the word that comes from where? The Lord. As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, is. Because God is the one who told him to go to Ahab and tell him there would be no rain. And it would be at God's time that God would send the rain again after 3.5 years of drought and famine. Can I be honest with you, friends? It doesn't matter what's going on in our world right now. You know, there's talk about all these storms and about how man is manipulating the clouds and cloud seeding and all these things. And it just amazes me how they can even do some of these things. But I'm here to tell you today, they might can seed some clouds, but it's God who makes the clouds. Amen. It's God who formed the skies. And I'll be honest with you, no matter what goes on, God will have the last word.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe that. God will have the last word. Chuck Swindoll, Pastor Chuck Swindoll, maybe a lot of you know him from Insights for Living and heard him on the radio and other, listened to his messages. He said this, he says, God keeps his promises. Agree with it or not, his word is final. He never forgets anything he promises. That's right, never. He said, God's word is filled with final words and thoughts as directed by the Lord to man through his Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that, friends, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Yeah. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God gives the word. He gives the first word, he gives the middle word, and he gives the last word, friends. He gives all those words in between. And people spoke in biblical times, amen, as the Holy Spirit, led by God, because God, Holy Spirit is God, amen, led by God, spoke into these men, and they spoke what God had said. You know, Hebrews tell us that in the old times, God spoke through his prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken through his Son, Jesus. Friends, I'm going to tell you what, God still speaks to us today. And his words are powerful. And his words are everlasting. And I believe his words are final. You know, there's some things in God's word that haven't been fulfilled today, but I believe God's word is final. The Bible says if you add anything to his word, take anything out of his word, God will add to you the plagues that are written into it. And God will take out of you, take your name out of the blessings that he has promised for you. Friends, God's word is final. I want to look today, and I want to look maybe for the next couple of weeks, at some final words. Maybe some final thoughts that I see in Scripture. And one of them today I want to look at is found over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this word is some of the last words of the last chapter in the last letter that the Apostle Paul writes before his death. And he's writing to one of his sons in the faith, Timothy, that young counter, contemporary partner of his, that son that he calls almost a spiritual son. And it is said that Paul wrote 2 Timothy from a dark and a dim Roman prison cell just before his death in AD 67. Some believe it was maybe more like AD 68. It is said that this second letter to Timothy offers a picture of Paul at the end of his ministry, just before his death. Certain personal details in the letter reveal that there is a man settling his accounts and preparing for the inevitable. And at the close of this letter, Paul mentions a significant number of people, some who had wronged him and others who had served faithfully alongside him. It is as if Paul were giving Timothy a state of the church address, updating Timothy on the current affairs or the current state of their acquaintances and of their friends, so that this young pastor, this young contemporary, could carry on after Paul's departure. Because I can tell you today that it might have been Paul's final words, but it wasn't God's final words. Because God had a generation that he was raising up to carry on the words that he had proclaimed to people like the Apostle Paul. I know sometimes we like to skip down and read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, which say, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." You all know these verses. "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearance." Those are great verses, and those are powerful verses. And you can see at that moment that Paul is speaking right before the demise, as he will be persecuted and he will be beheaded for his faith under Roman Nero. You know, friends, tonight we began, like I said earlier, our new conference, our district council. On Tuesday night of this week, we will be celebrating those who are being ordained into ministry. New ordainees. But we will also be recognizing and honoring those ordainees who have served and been faithful ordination candidates for 50 years of service. That's a real tribute. I love to see the men and women that have been faithful. I was honored that both my mom, my grandfather, my grandmother, my mom's side both were ordained ministers for over 50 years. My grandmother even pastored the church a long time. Amen. And I've heard her preach. She can outpreach a lot of people. But as we honor those, they will be making a charge, especially to the new ordainees. And that charge will be found here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. If you read it out of some others, it will say, "I solemnly charge you." But the new thing it says is, "I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom." Look what he says. "Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not, or in season and out of season. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching." You know, if you guys are hearing any good teaching, y'all can get some off for now. I'm just kidding. But think about that today. Here's what Paul, I believe this is Paul's final plea before his death. Paul's final plea before his death. And as he is pleading this to Timothy, I really believe he understood that this word would go forth for generations. But he's talking to Timothy at this moment. But here's his final plea. And in his final plea, he says what? He says, "Preach the word." Preach the word, right? You know what he said? "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom." I can believe God's still going to set up his kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, he's coming back just like he said, right? And he's going to judge the living and the dead. "Those that are dead in Christ shall rise," right? "Amen. And we who are called alive shall be caught up with them together in the clouds." But even the dead spiritually are going to be judged, right? As well as the dead that are living. Amen. The dead and the living will be judged, and God will set up his kingdom. But in that meeting, he says this. He says, "Preach the word." Preach. You know, somebody asked, "Well, how can this apply to an everyday Christian?" He said, "I thought that's for pastors." Well, yeah, it is for pastors. But I believe that word applies for all of us today. You see, maybe you don't have an opportunity to preach in a church service. But I believe if you properly understand the translation of the word preach, applies to your life as well. You see, the word translated preach is the Greek word kyroxo, which simply means to publish or to proclaim openly. He is saying, preach the word, publish God's word, proclaim God's word openly. You see, when Paul tells Timothy to preach the word, the ideal of a formal setting behind a pulpit or in a church service is not even present at that point. Nor does it connote a certain style of speech. You know, we sometimes, we know a pastor by the way he preaches, his style of deliverance. We, you know, you can hear people's voices sometimes and you say, hey, that's brother so-and-so, or that's sister so-and-so. But you see, friends, God wants us to have conversations about Him. And when we look at the context of 2 Timothy, any presentation of the truth of God's Word is preaching. Therefore, any Christian can be a preacher in a sense. Jesus said to do what? Go on all the world and preach the gospel. He also said go on all the world and be witnesses, right? Amen. Baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Friends, can I tell you that you have all been called to preach the good news? You have all been called to publish and proclaim. Paul's pleading with the church. He's pleading with the believers. He's pleading with people that follow Jesus to what? To proclaim the message. Friends, we cannot hide God's word any longer. Amen. We cannot just sit around and say, you know what? We'll let somebody else tell the message. We'll let somebody else preach it over the internet or preach it over the news media or live TV. No, friends, your responsibility and my responsibility is a part of Paul's plea to proclaim the good news. You see, preaching or proclaiming the word can happen in any kind of informal conversation. It can happen over a cup of coffee. It can happen in a counseling session. Parents can proclaim the word to their children around a dinner table if anybody still does that. Or maybe in the backyard, or maybe on a vacation at a beach, right? The word can be proclaimed on TV or radio or the internet. The word can be proclaimed by books, magazines, articles, and emails. The word can be proclaimed through Facebook, through Instagram, through posts and tweets, or Twitter. The word can be proclaimed through music and visual arts. The word can be proclaimed by a get well card to a person that's sick or a friend that's in need. The word can be proclaimed by a public billboard or in a private telephone conversation. The word can be proclaimed by men and women and children of every age and in every station of life. And yes, the word can and should be proclaimed when the church gathers together for corporate worship. Whether the pastor is preaching behind a pulpit or sitting on a stool or just talking to the congregation, friends, let the word of God be preached. Amen? Amen. All of us are responsible to preach. And that is to communicate God's word to others in whatever situation we find ourselves in, with whatever tools of communication we can muster. You know, friends, we live in a wonderful day. I know it's crazy, but we have so many opportunities at our fingertips where we can share the good news of Jesus. We can share it on posts. We can share it in emails. Amen. We can still send stamp cards and postcards and envelopes. Yes. But we have so many avenues. We can share it on our phone. Most of us have a smartphone. Some of you maybe don't. But most of us have a smartphone where we have the internet. We have the world at our fingertips. You know, friends, if anybody really wanted to watch our message, they could watch it from around the world. They could. And we have had people, missionaries specifically, that will sometimes tune into our messages. You see, communication is right at our fingertips. God's word, publish it, proclaim it. You know, we wonder how that the gospel shall go into all the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, it can. And it can go a lot faster today than it used to could. It used to take time and travel, and it took special means just to get from place to place, whether it was by boat or by plane or by train or automobile or bicycle or motorcycle. But today, friends, amen, the atmosphere is at our fingertips as we proclaim God's word. Preach the word. That's God's plea for us today. Keep publishing God's word. That's Paul's final words to us. It simply means to communicate the truth of God's words. You know, St. Francis of Assisi said this in a quote. He said, preach the gospel at all times. And when necessary, use words. What does that mean? Preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. That means that your life is your greatest servant. It's know that? Your life is your greatest servant. The way you walk and live, the way you hold yourself, the way you present yourself is what is a servant to those around you. I've said it many times, I'll just say it again just for our benefit today, that it is said over the course of our life that we influence 7 people without our even knowing it. Just by the way we live our lives. Think about that today, friends. What kind of message are we preaching? What kind of sermon are we publishing to the world? Can I encourage you today? Keep preaching the gospel. Keep living it out. Keep walking it out. Let people see you and see Christ in you. Because your life is your greatest sermon. Here's the second thing I see about this plea from Paul in these last words, these final words of Paul. Because not only did he say preach, but he said, be prepared. Or some translations say it this way, be ready, in season, out of season. Or the New Living says, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. You know, I'll be honest with you, who would have ever thought that we would live in such times as these? You know, it's almost like that, you know, these aren't favorable times at times. It's almost like that Christian faith is what? Is a target. If there's anything Christian about you, you know, you almost don't want to post things because you're almost like you're a target if you do. But what did he say? He said, be ready. Be prepared. That word translated ready or prepared comes from the Greek word that means to stand. It has the ideal of standing by, always on duty, ready to go. Isn't it interesting that Paul's final plea was not only preach the word to Timothy, but it was be ready? You know, our early forefathers, especially the Black Robe Regiment, who were pastors in churches during the Revolution, that when there was at a time's notice, they were ready to take off their black robes and to fight for their country and their freedom. We also had troops called Minutemen who were supposed to be ready in a minute. They were ready, prepared. Are you ready, prepared to give an answer for your faith? Are you ready, prepared to stand up and proclaim God's word? Are you ready, prepared to be the church to the unchurched? To be a witness and a face to the kingdom of God to those that don't know Jesus? You see, in the original language, the words for in season and out of season mean timely and untimely. In other words, be ready, stand by. Amen. Be on duty in any season that is timely or untimely, or that which is convenient or inconvenient. I just feel like sometimes that the gospel, or sometimes just our faith with serving him, is inconvenient to us. Sometimes we don't feel like it's a good. Yeah, come on, be honest with you. You know, there's times that, you know, if I want to come over and see you, you know, Pastor, it's not a convenient time. My hair's not done. My house is a mess. Pastor, I'm just laying down, take a nap. Can we do this some other time? You know, there are inconvenient times. Your neighbor, your spouse might say, well, hey, let's go shopping today. Well, yeah, this ain't convenient time. There's a ball game on. And the Mavs are in the finals, yes. Hopefully the Stars can get there. Wouldn't it be awesome if the Stars and the Mavericks get in the finals and win like the Rangers did last year? You know, we celebrate the finals in some realms, don't we? Yeah, as human nature, we celebrate. We celebrate big events. You know, friends, we talked about this here just here recently, that we are living in the last days. But the last days began, what, 2,000 years ago? We've been living in the last day, but it's not the last day. It's we're living in the last days. But these, we could say it this way, we are living in the final days. Right? So are we going to be ready? Are we going to be ready to give an account when the last day comes? Are we going to say, oh, boy, this isn't convenient for me right now? You know, it's easy to clock in, and it's easy to clock out of our faith. You know, everything's computerized now, but how many remember punching a little time clock card when you went to work?
Yeah.
And then if you forgot to punch it in, you had to get some kind of correction for your back. Now they just all computerized. You punch in on the computer, and you clock out, and some people take advantage of that. Some people come in late and say, hey, just change the time and punch me a little bit earlier. You know, sometimes it's easy to clock in and clock out our faith, believing that we represent God at church but not throughout the week. Friends, we don't just clock in when we come to church and clock out and leave. We stay clocked in. We do this place and honor God with our lives. This wasn't an option for Timothy, and it's not an option for us. If you are a Christian, guess who you are? You are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's special possession. Did you know that? You have been called to declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. You can find that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Whether we are speaking to a crowd or whether we are just changing attire, we should be ready in season and out of season to declare His praises and His truth to a watching world. Amen. Or whether we're just cutting down trees, right? Or washing our car. Honestly, I think I missed the supreme opportunity yesterday. I stopped to wash my truck after I filled up the gas because I knew I had something to go to. Well, then it rained right after that. But it was dirty, so I needed to clean it out. You know, anytime you wash your car or truck, it rains, right? You know that. But there was a guy that was washing his truck from last week forward, and he lifted probably a 3/4 time. And so we were just kind of right beside each other the whole time we were driving back and out of our trucks. And I finally there at the end, I said, "Hey, that's a nice truck you got there." He said, "Well, yours too." Didn't even get to tell me who he was. Well, he did. Two businesses he owned. But we kind of just had some small talk for just a bit, but that could have been a season, though. I'll be honest with you that I didn't take advantage of it. I might have missed out on an opportunity. I did tell him, we were talking about the storms and things that I just said, you know, our church was really affected by that as well, and our electricity was down. I tried to throw that in there, but I should have made a little bit deeper headway. Rolls into his heart. You know, friends, there are opportunities around us all the time. See, pastors human, pastor makes mistakes sometimes, friends. What I preach to you, I have to preach to myself. But friends, the world is watching, can I tell you? I'll do that. That's why he told Timothy to be ready. You know, Timothy would be later in prison himself, not too long after that. So he was challenged to preach the word, to be ready, be prepared. You know, Brother Wayne, you know, God, the Royal Ranger leaders and directors. And, you know, remember the Royal Ranger motto? It was what? Ready. Ready for anything. Ready to work, play, serve, worship, live, and obey God's word. I've never forgotten that since I was a kid in Royal Rangers. I've remembered that motto for years. But you know, that's what we teach our young boys, and that's what we would teach them in Royal Rangers. And which is still a vibrant ministry, but to be ready. Be ready for anything. Be ready, yeah, I love that play. But how about working? How about serving? How about worshiping? How about living and obeying God's word? Friends, God has called us to be prepared. He's called us to be ready. And we've got to be ready in season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, when it's timely, when it's not timely, friends. Our desire and God's challenge for us and His charge. You remember, Paul said, "I charge you, I urge you, I compel you." It's almost like he said, "I'm pushing you and pressuring you. Don't forget what I'm telling you." These were his final words. Be ready. Be prepared. And then one more. Be patient. Woo! That's a hard one. We're patiently waiting for the coming of the Lord, right?
Amen.
But the modern English version, which is like the New King James, says this in verse 2. After he says, "Preach the word, be prepared, be ready," he says, "Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all patience and teaching." The New Living Translation says it this way: patiently correct. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Maybe you can put that scripture back up there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Lord, if you don't mind for just a minute, so that you have that to look at. Yeah. 2 Timothy, I'll look, go back up, so that's your heavy.
Well, you said 2 Timothy.
Yeah, the first one, there you go. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct. Rebuke and encourage your people with good teaching. You know what he's really kind of saying? He said patiently correct. He said what? He said convince, correct, and encourage. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. If you wanted to look at it in the King James Version. Convince, correct, and encourage with patient instruction. You know, it takes a lot of patience. Can I be honest with you? It takes a lot of patience to preach God's word.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of patience to be ready to serve God and prepare Him at all times. Mm-hmm. It does. You know, If you're like me, you're a squirrel on the fly coming down on the hill. But you know what? It takes patience sometimes to prepare yourself to be ready for what God wants you to do. But we need to be, because there are people that need convincing. There are people that need correcting. And there are people that need encouragement. Did you know that? There's a woman up there that, I'm going to be honest with you, they'd argue with a brick wall if you try to convince them. You know, friends, I'm telling you, you better know who you believe and what you believe. Because people are going to try you. They're going to try your faith. They're going to try these final words that God has given you today to preach, to be prepared, and to be patient. And they're going to test your patience. But they need convincing. They need reproving. They also need rebuke. And there are times, friends, that people need to be rebuked. In other words, they need to be corrected. There's a way to do that, friends. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you start off angry and you start off hatred and start rebuking people because they don't know Jesus and they're not part of your faith or part of the descendants of God, guess what? They're probably going to buck up against you. And you're going to be in for a fight. Because not everybody believes like us. Not everybody believes in God. And there comes a point where we have to correct, but we have to know how to correct and which way to correct and how to speak to people in a way that will draw them. I'm not saying don't change your convictions. That's not what I'm saying at all. You better know who you are. You better know what you believe. And you better have confidence in that. Amen? And when you look at Apostle Paul's life, I don't see a wimpy apostle. I mean, I see somebody that came out of a heart school of learning. And I see somebody that was bold and confident, but he knew how to submit that under the realms of the Spirit of God. Marshall Siegel, president and CEO of Desiring God, he said, Paul is building here a steel reinforcement into this young pastor Timothy's ministry. He warns Timothy that people will turn away from faithful preaching, preferring instead to listen to messages that conform to their desires and make them feel good about themselves. They will gladly trade away truths for myths as long as the myths make much of me and downplay their sin and need for help and change. Paul may be talking specifically about public preaching, but what he says about Timothy's ministry has everything to do with us as well. Do you love the people in your life enough to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, to convince, correct, and encourage, even when they don't want to hear it? Don't those last couple of verses of scripture that you had up there while you were in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 5. Because look what he says after those words to Timothy. He says these next words. He says, for the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will gather to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, having itching ears. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn to myths. But be self-controlled. It's not like another patient word, does it? But be self-controlled in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and prove your ministry. I think, friends, people aren't going to listen to what you say. Not everybody's going to believe what you say. People want to hear what fits what they want to hear. I've said this before in a past past, but the truth is what people believe it is. The truth is truth, what you believe truth is. If 2 plus 3 is 6 to you, then that's what it is. And people will hear what they want to hear, and they will gather together those that are preaching what they want to hear. I'm going to be honest with you, I think sometimes we as pastors, we're guilty of preaching what people want to hear. You who is without sin, throw the first stone. That's true. I love people, and I want you to be happy with me. I want you to be pleased. I see nobody's gotten another offering, so I haven't said anything that's good to anybody. But at the same time, I don't want to preach something that's not true, something that's not right. Because God's word is truth, and God's word is life. And when people hear God's word and receive God's word, it changes them. I've been hearing people lately, people like, I don't know how many remember the rock star Alice Cooper, the one who used to bite off the heads of bats in his music career. He's now giving his heart to the Lord. People that you would never think would ever change. Mm-hmm. But God is changing their lives. And now he just doesn't understand why people don't want to share their faith. Why people don't want to stand up for what they believe. Isn't it amazing how God can convince people, and he can correct them, and yes, he can encourage them, and he can use them for his glory. Friends, I'm going to tell you, there's a world out there that needs Jesus, and we can't just put them in groups and say, well, this group belongs here in this percentage of people. They might believe if we share it long enough. Or these people over here, well, we'll just give them up because they'll never hear the message that God is trying to say to them. And so we'll just kind of just go ahead and knock them out of this whole equation. But friends, God knows the hearts of all mankind.
Amen.
And God knows our hearts. And I believe that today we need to take heed to Paul's final words. To preach the word. Proclaim it. Publish it. Be ready. Be prepared. Be in season, out of season. What's convenient, what's not convenient. Be patient. Be ready to convince. Be ready to correct. But also be ready to encourage people. Today, friends, maybe I'm speaking to the people that need to be encouraged today, but let me just encourage you. God hasn't forgotten about you. And in these days that we are living in, no matter what's going on or what you hear, God is still God. And God will have the last word. Because he's good. Come on, Jose. Would you come up today, please, and play something for me in closing? Can we just bow our heads? We're going to have communion in just a minute before we leave today. Let's just take a moment and just reflect on what God is saying to us today. These final thoughts from Paul, these final words, Paul knew very well that his time of departure was at hand. Paul knew he had fought a good fight. He had kept the faith. He finished his course. He knew what God had in store for him. He knew because he had been faithful. He trusted God. Paul also knew that there were those that were coming after him that needed the same encouragement, that needed to know that the same gospel that he preached is the same gospel that God wants them to preach and proclaim. Every generation is a voice for the kingdom. Every generation. Maybe some methods change. Maybe sometimes the way we do things, maybe locations change. But God's word doesn't change. God's challenge to you today is just proclaim his word. Be prepared at all times to convince, to correct, to encourage, and to do it with patient instruction. Friends, don't let the enemy fluster you. Don't let him flabbergast you. But be patient. Trust God. God sees all things and hears all things. Just let that be your prayer today, Lord.